dear.
Hi, Rana.
How are you?
Look at those. Who sent you those flowers?
I sent them to myself.
Oh, is there something outside my door?
Oh, you're so disappointed.
I'm not, Rana. Are they peonies?
They are. They're gorgeous peonies.
Those are gorgeous.
I have white and I have like a crimson or a cranberry or whatever. And I was worried that that felt a little too Christmas. So I added and I don't want to be, you know, I'm not against Christmas, but I'm not pushing it either.
Well, of course. It's Hanukkah season now.
So I added a gorgeous light pink. And that's why I'm in the main house today, because I have to work on my latkes as soon as we finish. So that I have them for the celebration for us.
Well, happy Hanukkah, Rana. We're about in the middle of it.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to let you know, I will be there, no problem, eating the latkes and giving you my honest feedback. But also, which will be wonderful. I've had them before. Huh. They're absolutely terrific.
Well, I guess I'll be curious how they stack up against last year. But yeah.
Listen, give me a stack of those latkes and I'll tell you how they stack up.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And then I'll open one of your bottles that's in the carriage house. But my other question was this.
Yeah.
I'll drink before I come and then I'll do the latkes and then I'll drink after.
It's probably a good idea to have a couple of drinks before you come, because the latkes soak up so much of the alcohol. If you're hoping to get any kind of a buzz,
you should
get it before you come.
Okay. Yeah.
But I will have my champagne. I'll have my smoked salmon, which I ordered from Solex Katzmo, of course.
Yes.
My Daniel Boulud.
By the way, I did order because I feel like I don't chip in enough. Have you ever heard of Andre?
Who?
Andre, it's a champagne. I got Drizzly's going to come over and give you a couple bottles of Andre.
Oh, Andre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about Andre. Is he a cousin of Barefoot's? Or Freshenette, as I like to call it?
No, it's like, you haven't seen Andre before?
Is it a champagne or is it some sort of sparkling something else?
You know, I'm not quite honestly sure, but I know that it's really popular because I see it at the fronts of the grocery stores.
Yes, it's on a stand at the front of the grocery store.
Exactly.
But probably not at the... Sounds like a Trader Joe's alcohol to me.
Well, I don't... They might be under a different label at Trader Joe, but the good thing is that you could...
Remember Two-Buck Chuck?
Of course. The great thing about Andre is you could get, I guess, like a 12-pack for $60. So, in case you run low.
A 12-pack. Is it in a can, Andre?
No, just bottles. I'm just saying if you wanted to buy 12, they're about $5 a bottle. I'm not drinking that, but if any of your guests want to drink that so that you and I can have the good stuff.
Oh, that was so thoughtful of you to fill out the roster with a quote-unquote champagne that is less than, so that you and I could enjoy the good stuff. Isn't that thoughtful?
Well, if you put champagne in a bowl, no one knows what bottle it was from.
It's so true. And I was going to serve it as a punch this year. If you put champagne... Where's Tony? Tony, where's Tony? I want him to write down that quote. If you put champagne in a bowl, no one will know what bottle it came from. That has to go straight to the top of our list of things that we want people to send us.
Rana, I feel like you're doing exceedingly well today. I don't know if it's the flowers or your glow is extra glowy.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if those flowers perk you right up.
It's probably all the grease from the latkes that I've been cooking.
Oh, sure. You're getting that nice oily.
Yes, I probably have an oily residue on my face from that. I do a sort of pad cooked latke. I would say pad baked, but that's not really how it works. So
what
I'll
does that
fry
mean? Yeah.
them.
Okay.
Well, pa means partially, basically, like a pa baked bread.
Okay.
So what I'll do is I will fry them lightly.
Okay.
And so they just get just golden.
Just starting.
And then I'll freeze them, because when you're making too many latkes, this is what you have to do. The problem with making latkes for people to eat right that second is that they eat them right that second and there's never enough latkes.
So you're like constantly in the kitchen trying to make more.
They're in there eating them as they come out of the fryer and you want to murder them because you're never able to put out a platter.
Yeah.
So if you're going to cook them right then, you put the oven on at about 200 and then you just keep putting your batches in there.
Oh.
But if not, you freeze them. And then when it's time, well, I suppose you could refrigerate them if you only have a day or something like that.
Right.
And then you put them in the oven at about 400.
Okay.
about 10, 15 minutes before you want to serve them.
Oh, to really get them going.
And that gets them, gives them an extra crisp.
The crisp.
And then you don't salt them until you serve them. That's key. You don't salt them the first time when you put them in the first time. You salt them when you serve them, like a hash brown or a French fry.
Oh, right, because I guess you're not supposed to...
You don't want the salt to be absorbed.
Right, right.
So you just want that salty sandy feeling that you get from a French fry or a...
And what accoutrement do you have with your latkes?
Well, it's funny you should ask, because what I normally... You know, everyone does applesauce and sour cream.
Right.
But what I'm doing also, which is something that I discovered in Austria... Of course.
Of course. Are you going this year, Rana?
Well,
next year?
That's the plan. I mean, well, we'll get into our schedule in a minute, but that's plan.
Right.
So
yeah.
We'll have to see. If I can get Mr. Cleveland to give me his plane, then I'll be going.
Right.
So, because I mean, I can't really fly commercial at this point.
Why? Oh, you mean because of COVID?
There's a little thing going on, Brian. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Okay.
It's called a pandemic.
Right. I've read a headline or two about this.
Is that hundreds of thousands of people have dropped dead.
Got it.
Just in the United States alone.
Right.
So, look, I don't know if I need to send you a link or what, you know.
Right.
It's just something to look into because on a lot of people's minds.
I misspoke. I misspoke. You're
but,
right.
But look, life has to go on. So I've got to get to, if I don't go to Austria in January.
I can't imagine. What will happen,
happens
Rana?
Then? The whole machine gets backed up.
Because that's your reset.
That's my reset. I don't get my reset. I don't know what kind of advice I'm going to be giving on this show.
I
Truly.
Mean, we're at the end of a year, Rana. At the end of one of the worst years in American history.
If you and I don't get a little self-care at the end of the year,
yep.
How are we supposed to care for the rest of these people the rest of the year?
I'm going to be straight up honest with you right now, and I mean this, I mean this sincerely. You really have broken through with me about how critical it can be to take care of yourself.
Really?
I always thought I sort of was, but then I really was in many times. I sort of don't really take care of myself. I sort of fake it or something.
But I think you take beautiful care of yourself.
You've definitely made me, since I've known you, you've definitely made me feel how important and what a difference it can make if you do that.
Well, I think a lot of people feel guilty sometimes when they take time for themselves.
You've alleviated the guilt.
And it hasn't made me a worse person yet,
I don't think. So.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We'll have to wait till the letters stop pouring in to see if people think you've become a better person or a worse person in the last
That'll be
year.
The next poll on Patreon.
Speaking of Patreon,
yes,
this month I have a little bit of news to give people, but what I wanted to tell them, the other key ingredient, because I know there's at least two people that are hanging right now.
Oh my God, we have to get back to this.
Wondering
yes.
what my Hanukkah ingredient is.
And I'm
is.
Not kidding. They are. That's why I brought it up. So yes,
I do an applesauce and then I grate fresh horseradish into the applesauce.
Wow.
And so I can't remember what they call it in German, but it is absolutely delicious. And I had it the first time I had it was at the Gasthaus Rebun, which means pigeon, which is like across the street essentially from Freud's house on Bürgerstrasse.
Oh, right.
So it's right on that corner and they have the most gorgeous. I was having the Tafelspitz, of course, which is basically a brisket, a boiled meat. And on the side with the Tafelspitz,
so
they
good.
Served applesauce that had fresh horseradish grated into it. And it was absolutely divine. So
right.
I've started incorporating that into my Hanukkah ritual.
Wow.
Here's the situation.
The only thing I wish about your latkes, Rana, is I wish they were really much smoother so that you couldn't even tell that there was a strand of anything in there. And I wish that they were like 8 inches in diameter.
It's very funny because I hate a pureed latke.
That's why I brought it up. I know you do.
You do? Is that, are you trying to provoke me?
I was provoking you because I don't like them either, by the way.
You know I like anything that looks like what it is. So
correct.
I like a thick grate on my latke.
And honestly, I do too. I just was trying to rally you.
But the only problem with this is that I've got to get my lockers done so that I can get Yadvina to do my nails, because basically your hands smell like onion for about 2 weeks after you make the lockers.
Is that what you put in it? It's potato and onion?
Potato, onion, flour, salt, pepper, little bit of baking soda, and of course, eggs.
Gorgeous.
But you have to wring them out like... You can't imagine. You wring them out in a dish towel and you think you've gotten all the water out of them, and you have to give them one more wring after that.
Because they just hold so much water.
The water, yes, the water is detrimental to the crisp factor and to keeping the latkes together.
And which potatoes do you use, Rana?
Well, it's interesting. You should ask. I use a Yukon Gold potato, Brian. That's my potato of choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think people will really appreciate all this. I'm not kidding.
Well, maybe I'll post my latke recipe. I think I posted it last year, but I'll post it again for people if they want.
Well, now that they know what they're getting into.
Yeah. So here's the situation on Patreon. I want to go over the schedule with people. The other thing I wanted to say, actually, because it's Hanukkah and because it's the holidays, there is a fabulous organization. I meant to mention this, called One Table. And I believe that the website is onetable.org. I'm going to look at it right now while I'm talking to you. And what they do is they connect people. So normally what they are is they're a Shabbat organization.
Oh, okay.
So on a Friday night, onetable.org, and they're run by fabulous Aliza and her little assistant, Marina. They pair people with other people on Shabbat. So let's say I'm in New York, or I don't have somewhere to go for Shabbat or whatever it is. But because of the pandemic, they've been doing these Shabbats online.
That's nice.
And what you can do is you can go on there and they might say, so maybe somebody would host a Shabbat where they said, all I want to talk about is Ron and Brian at my Shabbat. And somebody else might say, all I want to talk about is architecture, Greek architecture.
Wow.
And so you can go on and you can see what the different topics of conversation or what you have in common with whoever. And then you can sign up to be part of that Shabbat, and you can do a Zoom Shabbat with people.
That is so great.
And it's actually absolutely lovely, because there's been, obviously people have been feeling so lonely and so isolated during the pandemic. And it's another way. And also, what fun to have a conversation with a stranger in the middle of all of this.
I was going
to
say, and then you could do like, it could be like You've Got Mail or something.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe you and I will host one of these days, but I'm not making any promises.
It would delight me nothing more than to... something I really love or I'm passionate about, or something that gives me a giggle or makes me feel good, to just join other people in that and on a holiday like this.
We could do one about Lisa Gibbons' chimpanzee.
That's right. Animal best friends of 80s stars.
We could do that. That would be us. Or we could do, Moonstruck. We could do the movies of Cher.
That's true.
That could be our Shabbat.
The Cher movie. That's right. The Cher movies.
Or we could do a carriage house Shabbat. We could invite the people from the carriage house if they want to join. I don't know if there's a limit on how many people can join. Right. We could all have a Shabbat together. But then, a couple of those bullies are going to come to the front and try and talk the whole time. And it's going to be a whole thing. And I'm not naming names.
Don't, Rana. They already know.
Ajahn Kvasnikov.
I love Ajahn.
Just because you live in Alaska doesn't mean you deserve special attention. Excuse me.
By the way, I hate to tell you, Rana, he did have COVID.
He did have COVID.
He did?
Yeah, he did. And he's recovered now, but he had a tough bout. It ran through his family.
Oh, that's
awful.
But
everyone's okay.
He's lovely.
Yeah. Well, he seems lovely online.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know. You might get in line behind him at the grocery store and he might turn around at you and snap.
That's true.
We don't know what kind of person he
is. We don't know what kind of Alaskan rage is hidden underneath the ice.
I'm just kidding. We love Ajahn. But in any event, in the Patreon carriage house, we have our book club. We have our movie festival, Quiff. We give $2 from every sauna privileges every month we give to the charity of our choice. This month we're doing Feeding America because, of course, it's Christmas and we want to support as many food banks, etc., as possible.
And it's a terrific, I would say it is one of the best, if not the best of those.
It's a wonderful organization because they just have their tentacles all over the country, really, where people
right
need
and work with local. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. So they sort of take the guessing game out of, well, I wanted to give to this food bank, I wanted to give to that food bank. They're giving to all of them.
Like,
so
when I donate to Feeding America, even, or when because I have a recurring thing there, I know that you can. I know it's going to the Los Angeles Food Bank.
Yes,
because that's what I had set it up for, which is
wonderful.
Nice.
Yeah. Wonderful. Not the Marblehead Food Bank.
Are you kidding, Rana?
I'm the Marblehead Food Bank, practically.
You are for me. Yeah. But I was going to say, everyone around here seems to be doing A-okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, there are still a few people that have had very tough years that are on the bottom. But for the most part, we have a lot of people that work at Fidelity and Bank of Boston. And
the worst of it, the person who seems to have hit it hard was that person who lives like five doors down, who's worth like $800 million and lost $5 million. I mean, go to hell.
Well, no, he lost $500 million. So he's only worth $300 million now. Yeah, how would you feel?
I mean, I'd feel pretty bad, but I'd also still feel pretty
million.
Rich.
Why would that make the news? You lost $5 million on a bet.
You're right, Rana. Now I feel devastated for him.
It's all relative. It's all relative.
I guess so.
No, we're teasing. But I also want to give a shout out to Connor McKay, who we love.
Yes.
Who we talked about at Frankly Wines in New York. If you're still trying to send something at the last minute, go to Connor McKay.
He is like the real deal.
He's got his mother, Carol, listening now because he got a shout out during Ronica. He told her about it and she started listening. And now Carol, I've got Carol DMing me.
Oh my God.
On Instagram,
I love it.
Which is
Hi,
hysterical.
Carol.
Carol Nicholson. She's right in Hull.
Where's Hull?
Well, it's very funny where Hull is.
Okay.
Hull is, wait, is she in Hull or is she, yes, she's in Hull. So Hull is on the South Shore, just south of Boston.
Oh.
And it is the place where when a northeastern storm is coming.
Yes, scary, yeah.
And they don't know whether it's going to make landfall or it's not. They always send the news crews to Hull. Because it's right where Massachusetts bends a little bit. So it's either going to make landfall there or it isn't.
And then they get to do that wind in the hair look.
Which is always everyone's favorite.
When they're out love there standing
like
in the wind.
Like the Gordon's fisherman.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's always fun. We'll say a shout out to Carol. Okay. Now,
Hi, Carol.
A minute. Now I'm how many minutes in and I've got to hang up because we've got all these guests coming. We didn't talk about Vulture.
Vulture.
Are they kidding?
Are they kidding? Does everyone understand?
You better take it away on this one. You better explain this because I sound like I'm bragging when I tell people. Oh, okay. Now I got to go. I'm losing my mind because I must be high on canola oil fumes.
There is a difference with you, Ron. I'm not going to lie. It's the peonies. It's the oil.
What do you think's the problem?
Hanukkah,
think is,
maybe.
I
don't know.
Am I a little lucid today or am I dumb? What's going on?
You just seem to be effervescent. It's great.
But maybe it's my, what's my ring light? It must be my ring light.
I was going to say maybe, or maybe you had like a Mentos or something.
I do love Mentos freshness. Yeah.
That's
Mentos
it kicks it into high
full
gear.
Full of life. Mentos, the fresh maker.
Big difference between before a Mentos and after a Mentos.
In the Patreon Carriage House, which comes out every Friday.
Yeah.
Well, that means we have an episode. Christmas is on a Friday this year. We have an episode coming out on a Friday.
Yes.
But we can't tell people what it is, but what we can tell them is we're doing a special surprise for Christmas in the Carriage House.
This is on Patreon
only.
If you want
to be part of that,
we've never done this before.
Join Patreon.
Yeah, that's right.
But we're really excited about what we think people are going to love it. It's a special Christmas treat.
And then are we going to say now about January?
About our schedule?
Yeah.
We are taking, go ahead, you can tell them, we're taking off.
January 1 through January 12th.
Yeah.
So there won't be any free feed episodes just for that 12 days. Because like I said, if it's in Austria, if it's here, Rana's got a reset. And frankly, I do too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And frankly, so does Jadvina. And frankly, so does Tony and Adam and Nick.
And Dante to some extent.
And Dante and Emma.
And Emma, of course.
Yeah.
But there will still be new episodes on Patreon. So
every week.
People
that's right.
are jonesing for Rana and Brian. They can join Patreon if they haven't already. And their service will not be interrupted.
But I want to say this, Rana.
You better.
When we come back January 12th, do you think we're coming in with a whimper or a roar?
I'm afraid to unleash this on them.
This
they
is,
don't deserve. I mean, do they deserve it? I guess it they might do. Be what we've all been through.
It might be our first living legend on this show. I mean, like actual.
This isn't just a famous person.
No. This is like,
this isn't a name. Let's put it that way. We didn't get a name. What's a name? Mario Lopez is a name, I suppose.
Sure. Yeah.
This person, I don't know how we could have done better or gone bigger for a relaunch on January 12th.
Every single living person knows who this is.
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, maybe everyone
on, certainly everyone in America, possibly everyone on planet Earth.
Yeah, that's true.
Including a couple of animals.
I'll take it. I'll take it as you say it, Rana.
We have a huge guest that we are launching with on January 12th. So yep. Mark your calendars and don't think we've abandoned you. We're just taking a little reset. Tell them about Vulture, then we've got to hang up.
I know. So Vulture, as with all these premier sites that do the best holiday gifting or their favorites of 2020, what to give people in the holidays, that ranges from everything, from Vogue to The New Yorker to GQ. Well, Vulture, of course, does one, / New York Magazine. Fabulous.
And Vulture we love anyway because they've got the finger on the pulse of everything.
They are hip, and they're real, cool, and smart.
And real podcasting aficionados.
Definitely.
Also.
They're boots on the ground. So they included us on their like holiday gift list. They specifically included the Carriage House holiday box.
A very Carriage House holiday. The small box they included.
Correct. Which you can get on askronacoffee.com. But endorsed by Vulture as one of the top 15 gifts you should give somebody.
Unbelievable.
Come on.
We've never been happier. We're
and
just
it couldn't
a tiny
be a more gender-neutral gift, by the way.
We're just a tiny little podcast with a teeny little coffee business. And the fact that they recognized us, it means the world.
Crazy.
It means the world.
It does.
All right. That's enough business for right now. I will post my latke recipe, but we have two
Rana.
Fabulous guests today. So
I was
going to
say,
let's get
to some pleasure.
One of them is a repeat customer, I hate to tell you.
She certainly is,
She's
Rana.
Our second repeat customer, her and Aden Marin.
Aden and Kulop. And then another one.
Yeah, Su Chin. Let's
Su
do it.
Su Chin. We've got two guests today.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Brian.
Yes, Rana.
Would you like to make the home chef in your life feel like a Michelin star chef?
Is it possible?
Well, I didn't know it was until just recently.
Okay.
I've stumbled upon a fabulous business right out of Chicago called Rare Tea Cellar.
Are you spelling that C-E-L-L-A-R?
I am.
Fabulous.
Rare Tea Cellar is your home for gourmet ingredients and hard-to-find teas.
Gorgeous teas that are soothing, relaxing, and I will say this, of the absolute highest quality.
I have to say, all jokes aside, I'm on that back and forth on that site every day thinking,
I
need this? Do I need that? My new obsession is they have a mustard that has espalette pepper in it, which is one of my favorite peppers, which comes right from that border of France and Spain. And it's one of my favorite things to cook with, and I can't wait to try it. And we loved this Rare Tea Cellar so much that we had to put the Ronica stamp on two more gift baskets on this site. So we're not just fooling around here.
For luxurious options at wonderful price points for stuff that will knock your socks off.
Yeah. And for our listeners exclusively, 20% off your first order with offer code. What is it?
Brian, B-R-Y-A-N.
That's right.
My name.
This is pretty fabulous. But
I mean, my name officially gets you in places now.
Yeah. Oh, no, it officially gets you 20% off at RantiSella.com off your first order.
Fabulous.
So don't sleep on this because this is only for the month of December. But this is pretty fabulous. And we are delighted to have them as a sponsor.
I would say if anyone ever wanted to peek in Rana's pantry, this is the way to do it.
Don't talk about peeking in my pantry.
You made that sound really dirty, Rana.
Well, it was very fresh.
You're right.
Very fresh.
God, I'm sorry. That was personal.
All right, let's get back to the show.
Fair enough.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rana.
Well,
someone jumped the gun. Was that Kulop as usual?
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's Kulop, who has an absolute holiday garland behind her on her mantle.
Excuse me.
It never ends with Kulop. She never misses an opportunity to jazz it up or make it a party. It doesn't matter how she's feeling. If she's having a bad day or a good day, she finds a way to make it a party.
Mm-hmm. I don't like leading with this.
And this is why we love her.
I don't like leading with this, Rana.
She must be
exhausted. But can I just say that Kulop and Sujin are probably the best dressed guests
we've ever had on this show.
And I hate leading with that. I know that's like full Mario Lopez extra, but you both look fantastic.
Mario Lopez has been getting a lot of shout outs on our show lately.
From you, Rana.
You just brought him up, not me.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because of Saved by the Bell, right? Is that why?
No, because of the Kentucky Fried Chicken movie that he did or whatever.
Oh. Did you know about this?
No.
He did a sexy Colonel Sanders video.
Lifetime made a mini movie with Mario Lopez as a sexy Colonel Sanders.
Wait, what?
Last week. I didn't watch it yet, but they did.
What's the beginning, middle, and end to that? Just if I can have. You know what I mean? Like, I see him in the costume, but where are we entering? I haven't watched it yet.
Kulop, stop looking so upset, okay?
You're going to have to recover.
You're going to have to recover.
I'm not very good at math. There's so much happening in my head.
It's a diagram for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask you all a question?
Please.
Yes, please.
Rana, this includes you, and I think I've already asked you.
I was thinking it didn't include me, but yeah,
it does, but I think I've already asked you, but you can weigh in. Mario Lopez is, of course, very good looking.
Oh, yeah.
But will you agree with me that he's great looking. This is how I feel about a lot of models too. He's not necessarily sexy.
100%.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. We were having a conversation, Brian and I, on our Patreon just the other day where we were saying how we think that people who devote that much, now we're giving them a free Patreon episode. We think people that devote that much time and energy to their bodies become sexless at some point because the only person they are attracted to is themselves, basically.
Whoa.
How about them apples?
You just broke down narcissism, I think. I think we all got a diagnosis here. Yeah. It's not only his chiselness, but it's also his smoothness. Now, I'm not saying I know what his chesticles look like, but I imagine they're quite smooth.
Like a baby, I think. That's what his skin looks like, baby skin.
And I like my partners to be on the uglier side of the human spectrum and just as hairy as F. You know what I mean? I didn't see that coming.
You like a homunculus.
Yeah, I'm not, when a man is so good looking, my eyes don't know where to rest. You know, it just slips and slides off. And you, of course,
you can't trust them. That's the other thing.
I need an eyebrow situation to rest my eyes on, maybe a nose, a mouth. You know what I mean? I need something.
You like them a little desperate and you know that they can bring home a squirrel if they have to. If there's nothing, if all else fails, they can catch you a squirrel.
Rana, what the hell is a hubuncula?
A homunculus.
Homunculus.
A homunculus.
A banicula is a Dracula bunny.
Who sucks the life out of veggies, right? Isn't that
right? A banicula, yes. He turns all of the fruits and vegetables, all the tomatoes in the fridge, he turns them white from red because he sucks all the juice out of them. That's banicula.
So scary.
A homunculus is like the missing link. He's a hairy, short man who maybe doesn't walk on all fours, depending on what catches his eye.
See, that does sound kind of sexy. Mm, yeah.
There are people, you must like Jewish men, Suchin.
Some would say I have a flavor palette. Some would say I have a particular flavor palette.
You like Jewish guys, you like Eastern European guys, you like, yeah, that's very funny.
You don't mind a hairy chest. In my diary, I don't even know what's happening. Is this a psychology podcast?
It actually could be.
I can tell you what it isn't. It isn't the Mario Lopez podcast.
No, it's the Ask Rana podcast.
We've got to move on.
But we got to mention Add to Cart, Rana.
Yes. So we need the ladies to tell everyone about their fabulous, fabulous new podcast, which is why we're having Kula back as a repeat customer. Excuse me.
That's right.
Our only second
person is repeated because we love you so much.
Is that true? I'm so honored.
We had Adden back because she had her book come out, and we had to have you back because we're so excited that you have a new show. And of course, people were dying for the return to podcasting of Cool Up.
No kidding.
Excuse me. Did I say it right this time? Close?
Yes. What did you say? My name?
Vilisak is what I said.
Yeah, it's so funny. I don't even hear my last name anymore.
You've just been so browbeaten. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even like it. Just like it doesn't. Yeah. I've built up some sort of block.
Yeah.
Right, Tell us about this show.
This show, Add to Cart, is on Lemonada Media, and it is a show about the things we buy and the things we buy into and what that says about who we are. So much like your show, we dabble in the psychology behind purchases, and we don't mean to sometimes we mean to, but we really get into the details of our lives.
I love
I like to call it the nooks and the crannies. You know what I mean? No fold unfolded, no stone unturned.
Yeah. Sure. And
are you two longtime friends, or this was something that you just wanted to embark on together?
We are not longtime friends. We've known each other for maybe a year and a half. We met through Time's Up Entertainment while organizing over there, and we became friends. And it was something like, hey, do you want to do this? What is this? I don't know. Let's figure it out.
That's so great.
And it has the best name of any podcast. I love the name of the podcast.
Thank you.
I think it just says it all. I think it's so exciting.
It really
is. Thank you. It's something that I hit that button a lot. I smash that add to cart button.
Especially like this time of year is when I go nuts, like out of control, just like stupid about stuff. But your show really does scratch an itch for me and also makes me think about purchases in a way that I hadn't. So
thank you. Yeah,
it's very funny because just not funny, but a lot of people, that's just how they've also been coping with the pandemic. And
totally.
So I think, you know,
very much so.
It's just people's habits in that realm are very interesting, and how that scratches a certain itch or makes you soothes an issue or whatever it is. But there's always something at the heart of it if the behavior is somewhat, I don't know, irregular or impulsive or whatever you want to call it. But it's something everyone can relate to, of course.
Definitely.
Do I need this? What is this? Do I need this? Or I need this.
Yeah.
I need this.
And why?
You sure? I need it. Okay.
And
I won't get between you and it. And why can't I find this sneaker for my son that he has to have so he knows that I love him and that he's loved in this world. And then he's going to walk in a puddle and it'll be all over.
Yeah. Ron, remember when we were young and all the kids wanted Cabbage Patch? How did we do it?
Yes. Yes. My parents got me some twins. That was
Two cabbage patch? Oh, yeah, they did have twins. Oh,
twins. Twins were very hard to get your hands on.
So hard to get. And then this little bitch decided that it was a boy and a girl. And I was like, I want them to be twins. True twins. So I cut the girl's hair so they would both have little fros.
And by the way, I'm sure you did a stunning job of it.
Oh, we just goodness. Hacked into this expensive, hard to get toy that my parents, my immigrant parents,
gave their whole lives to get. Yeah. That's one of those things every parent can relate to, is what they had to do to get what they had to sell of themselves to get a cabbage patch.
And in those moments, I go, my mom was right to beat me. Sorry.
That one I deserved.
One for you.
Oh my God. All right. I'm going to start this conversation here. Here we go. All right.
Okay.
Dear Rhonda and Brian, that, and that's a capital Y, and that Y expresses deep respect and appreciation, no shade or mockery here. Okay.
I sometimes people do the capital Y because I'm B-R-Y-A-N and I get really, I think they're making fun of me, but other times I really like it. So that time I really liked it.
In short, I'm in a pickle about how to let a nanny go during COVID. I've been putting it off for a month now, and I just realized that the two of you might have some wise input about how I could navigate this quagmire of ethics, relationship ending, and finances. Or you will tear into me like a fresh babka on Shabbat. Either way, it's worth it. Here's the... So don't feel you have to be kind, ladies. Just give your true opinion here.
This person's willing to,
Here's the whole story. My husband and I have two kids ages 15 and 12, which is already shocking to me that they still have a nanny.
They're older. That's,
We have had the same nanny for over 15 years. That is correct.
It swings around. Yeah.
So now we're into member of the family territory. Yeah. Yes, that is correct. We hired her through when our firstborn, I'll call her Prima, was 11 weeks old. We have kept her in our employ through the through her having three more kids and us having one more kid.
Wow.
I'll call her Secunda. I like the use of Italian here.
Sure.
Sadly, as of January 2020, Prima lives at a residential boarding school for kids with autism and behavioral disorders. So she is only home for visits. That's the 15-year-old.
Okay.
Terrifying as that may sound in COVID, maybe in COVID, we have managed this as much as possible. All right. Nanny was a huge help to us during years of turmoil with Prima's health and care. Secunda is in seventh grade and is doing well despite COVID and learning at home, but we will not need a nanny for her in eighth grade. That leaves us with the present dilemma. We've continued to pay nanny's full salary since the COVID shutdown in mid-March while she stayed home with her kids and we stayed home with us. We'd like to continue to pay her until March of 2021 so that we will have to give, well, we will have given her a year of full salary as unemployment benefits. We have paid her under the table this whole time, which was her preference and ours, so we won't she won't qualify for regular unemployment. She has other employers. Since she has only worked for us part-time for the last 9 years, and as far as I know, they've continued to pay her as well. The money that we could save from letting her go is substantial, and we will be redirected towards saving for Prima's care, as we assume that she will not be able to support herself into adulthood. Not that this really matters as far as figuring out how and when we let our nanny go, but saving for my disabled child does weigh on me. Is it cold of us to let her go as of March 2021? Or have we been reasonable to pay her a year of unemployment out of respect for her 15 years of employment and generally being caring people? If we weren't in the midst of a pandemic, we'd be talking to her about ending her employment this summer anyway, since we won't need her in September. It all just feels very uncomfortable to be telling her that we are letting her go when COVID is not yet resolved, and saying goodbye without being in person for a year feels very wrong. Thank you in advance for your sage and possibly deranged advice, Brian.
And you know what?
Yeah.
That why was tough now.
And
now,
now I know they were making fun of me. Kula.
And she wrote it with a capital Y in the parenthesis and in parentheses. And for all the joy and brilliance you both have shared with your adoring audience in 2020.
Yeah, how adoring. How adoring that they talked to me like that.
Kiss, kiss. in a pickle in Chicago.
Soo-jin, you want to start? What do you think?
I think that backstory is so important because this is such a personal, individual, household by household decision. And the question stops at the future of my disabled child, period. There's no other explanation needed. If she's weighing the cost of keeping someone on that she was going to let go anyway, and the sort of well-being of her child as a parent, that child comes before anything. You know, there's not even an argument. And I would hope that someone who had been with my family and as much of a family member as possible, I don't think that she's going to be surprised at this conversation. In fact, I would be surprised if she was surprised. So to me, these conversations, while you can't have it in person, require just a complete transparency and honesty. Here are my fears. Here are the things that keep me up at night. You know, X, Y, and Z. These are the reasons why. They're not excuses. They're such legitimate reasons that I think anyone who's been a part of your family will understand. Furthermore, a year as severance, I think is fair. But that's my opinion.
It's a good one.
Cool up.
Yeah, you got to let her go. As long as you do it with grace and you honor the time that you have.
I'm only laughing because Cool Up is, as much as she's a fantasist, she's a pragmatist. These are the two parts of Cuckoo's personality.
She's getting to it. Oh my goodness,
you see me so, like, all parts, like, every angle. You see me
this
here,
is
you
the
see
showrunner
me above,
Cool
you see
up.
Me
Here. This is yeah. creator showrunner Cool Up, where she's like, all right, we don't have time. Let's do this.
Oh, survival? Yeah, I choose survival. Yeah. That's your question. Yeah.
I love
I'm
it.
I'm Pat's daughter. Sure. I think the conversation will be uncomfortable. I think there will be feelings. I think there will, you know, but as long as you pickle in Chicago makes it clear that this nanny is valued, will be valued, and just there are changes. That's all she can do, really, in my opinion. And there's lots of tough things that can't happen right now because of COVID, in terms of being able to say bye properly in person. You know, a lot of people can't say bye properly. In actually more dire scenarios. So,
well, there is also the concern that there's a couple of concerns here. I'm curious. I want to hear what Brian has to say, and then I'll bring up my reservations after that.
I fully agree with Soo-jin and Cool Up in that I don't think you are doing anything wrong here. I know that it probably feels crappy to have to do this to someone in the middle of a pandemic with someone who's been under your employ for 15 years. I would say with all that, just with a caveat of, and maybe I missed this in the letter, I do think that the earlier you tell someone, the better. I wouldn't sit on it if you know this is what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to live in fear that she's going to like jump up and out of your life the next day. It just doesn't seem like that sort of dynamic to me that she would, but I would want to know quickly, especially in this world where jobs are harder to come by, especially jobs that require someone new to be in your family. I would just say, if you know you want to let go of her in March, I would tell her now so that she, or maybe at the beginning of the year. So she has 3 months or something to kind of figure it out. I don't really think there's a risk in doing that.
I think I agree with everything everyone said, but there's two factors here that I'm concerned about. One, of course, the pandemic, which is that this woman has been paid under the table by this family and her other families for 15 years. So in this moment, she doesn't have any other options for income.
No net.
Because she is not able to apply for unemployment. I'm not saying that's your responsibility. I'm just saying that that is the truth. And it's also the reality of your arrangement with her all these years. And I think there is a little bit of, I don't want to call it magical thinking, but I think you're seeing something here from your perspective, and she's not necessarily going to see it the same way. And that's just something that you have to figure out how you want to deal with.
But I think that's 100% right.
You are seeing this as a year of severance. She saw this as the pandemic happened. Every month we reevaluated what we were doing. Do you feel safe being around my family? Do I feel safe being around your family? There may have been an arrangement where she could have come back to work a couple of days a week with a testing situation, et cetera. And that's a decision that you both arrived at together. So just, even though she hasn't really been working for the last year, this was not presented to her as, I'm giving you a year of severance. You did not fire her a year ago and give her a year of severance. So that is how you have justified this in your mind.
I mean, that is such a great point.
Yes.
Especially if you were going to let go of her in July anyway, why don't you just pay her till July and tell her now?
I think you tell her, that's what I think. I think you tell her now. I think the vaccine is hopefully coming, though, you know, we don't know who's going to get it when. And if you have any ability to help her get the vaccine or whatever, you know, I'm not saying that people do, but I don't know whether she's engaged in the healthcare system or she isn't. Maybe your personal doctor is going to have access to these. You know, I don't want to generalize, but people that live in this way and are not engaged in, they're not getting unemployment. They're often not getting Medicare. They're often not, you know, I don't know what her situation is. And my guess would be that in your lives together, you've helped her navigate some of that stuff. And I don't know whether she's legal or not or any of that. I'm just saying, if you have a way to help her at least get on a wait list or whatever it is, I think you should do that, because I think that is going to be the difference between her and being able to get another job.
That is something to put on a resume, frankly, with a job like that. I'm vaccinated. Yeah.
Because her job is to be around other people. And that is what she's a nanny. She is a childcare worker. She understands, it's very sad and it's heartbreaking, but she understands the reality that children grow up and become adults and that people don't need nannies anymore and they have to find another family. She's obviously relatively young if she's had three children in the last 15 years. This is not a 80-year-old woman. This is a maybe 50-year-old woman, maybe less.
Can I say something I didn't like about this letter, that I don't live in this world. I don't know if this is the thing you do. I do think it's weird to call someone nanny like it's their name. I didn't like that she did that, this letter writer.
I think she was just trying to make it, this one is this one, this one is that. For, when we're reading, because so
people
we understand
do that with nanny sometimes. They're like, nanny, can I talk to you for a second? People do that.
And I really hope. I really hope that's not the case.
I'm sure it isn't.
It could be.
I just wanted something to be pissed off about.
Yeah. Well, you needed a reason to turn on this absolutely beautiful, heartfelt letter that was sent to
of
us.
Of course.
Yes. But I call Scott father. Is that weird?
Well, 100%. Yeah. But listen, no
judgment.
Slightly judgments.
Better than daddy, but
that's
not
true.
Much.
Father, will you be podcasting
oh,
today?
Oh, my God. But honestly, when you put it in context, it was so much worse.
I think daddy, I think I prefer daddy. I do.
Okay.
In that context.
I think that they can, I don't know, but I think they can afford to keep it to the summer. And that was their plan anyway. And they've turned this into a year in their mind from when the pandemic started. And look, nobody loves the fact that they've been paying people for the last year for jobs they're not doing. And it absolutely becomes a strange issue of class and burden and that kind of thing. And you're allowed to not want to do that anymore. But
also,
there are consequences and she's a member of your family.
I would also just say giving her all that time doesn't mean she's going to take all that time. I mean, presumably she would want to find a job when there is a job.
Yes.
So I would also say to her, we're willing to pay you till July. Of course, if something comes along before that, we won't hold you to it. But
yeah,
I don't know.
If you're able to do it, that's what I think is the thing to do. Because it sounds like that was your plan initially anyway. But you'll have to have that conversation with your husband and see what you feel comfortable with. But I completely agree that this is a conversation that needs to happen, you know, right as soon as, maybe not, maybe after the first of the year, maybe not right at the holidays, but.
Well, it's interesting. So what is the question? Because the question isn't, should I fire her or keep her, right?
Yeah. Like, that's getting really. The question is how, I suppose.
How to do it. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Did you get your package to you?
I did. I got, it's another candle, Rana. Sierre Trudon Abdel Al-Qaeda. Is that how you say it?
Abdel Al-Qaeda. Did you get it from a different purveyor this time? Was the other one sold out?
Correct. Yes, exactly. I got it on Mr. Porter, if anyone knows. Yeah.
Okay, wait, what is this fantastic candle? I need to know.
This is my signature candle.
Could come model it. Should I model it?
It is, if it's for you, you can open it up.
It's for me.
If it isn't, then open the package and show us your candle.
Or should I stay?
Just stay, I suppose.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's a Sierre Trudon. It was the candle, the French candle house of Napoleon and Josephine. And they make a lot of candles that I don't like the smell of because they smell like you would light them in a room full of people that haven't bathed in months. Like
too strong.
The French court.
Like Napoleon.
Oh, right.
But they
meant literally of their odor, of the body odor. I was
because
like, that's.
A lot of the fragrances are original fragrances.
Right.
But they do one, which cotton is called candy. Abd al-Qaeda. Right. And it is fresh mint, essentially. And it is that it smells absolutely exactly like fresh mint. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh my goodness.
And the coloring cool up. It would look great in that office because it's a dark green sea glass with a gold seal, but it's almost a black grain. It would look great in that office.
Now you've ruined it for me, Rana, because I haven't opened it yet. But I know what's in it.
Well, you saw the picture on the internet.
I did. I'm just teasing. You know
All right,
Brian. I will say this is the kind of candle, because it's expensive, but it's the kind that I light it when I'm working and it makes me feel so good while I'm like working on something.
It's a candle that you have to sign for. That's how expensive it is.
Well,
it's not even that expensive.
That was just the shipping that he did, I guess.
Well, also, you know, they do like DHL Napoleon. Or something.
Yeah. Also Napoleon.
Napoleon. It's not that expensive.
Ever
it's not-
heard of him?
Yeah. Just
Ever
like, I think it was an emperor of some sort.
Some sort. Very some short sort. Man. Yeah. Exactly.
White glove with this candle.
How's that coffee, Sujin?
I paid $150,000 for it. So it was a steal.
Oh, did it come with one of his testicles?
No. Could
what
it?
Made me say that? I have been
Rana,
very.
I'm telling
been,
you, something
Ryan
is
said
up
I was
with
very
you today.
Loose today. He said I was very loose today.
Something's up with you today.
Maybe
maybe
my mug has champagne in it, Brian. Brian told me, you'll know, cool up. You're an entertainer. Brian told me that if you pour champagne into a bowl, nobody knows what bottle it came out of. And I said, that's wonderful because I was thinking about incorporating cheap punch into my routine this holiday season.
I'm just saying, if you pour champagne into a bowl, no one knows what brand it was.
Because he said he was sending me a couple of bottles of something called Andre, which is about $5 a bottle, so that I didn't have to share the good stuff with my guests. Does that sound like me?
It was
Not
only
at all.
A suggestion.
Not at all.
It was only a suggestion, he said.
Just he was spitballing off the top of his head.
Well, he's,
you know?
He's the kind of guy that brings a bottle to a party that he wants to drink, and then he stands by it for the rest of the night.
Yeah, and take the rest home.
Exactly.
I'm not an idiot. All right, should we get to the next question?
Next question.
Here we go. Okay. Dear. Oh, sorry, my computer. Oh, God. Hang on. I know.
Oh,
I know. Something's wrong with my computer. I know. I'm so sorry. Okay.
You can't be serious.
No, okay. Got it. It's good. It was frozen. Okay. Dear Rana, Brian, and possibly guest, excuse me too, Sujin and Kulop of Add to Cart, the podcast. Every year I make more than 80 dozen cookies to give as 80 dozen.
Oh,
900.
I'm going to do the math. 960. 9,
Brian,
okay,
you did it?
Brian, I had no idea you were so good
Carry
at math,
the
Brian.
One,
I
eight
am.
Plus, yeah.
Brian, you have secret
Dang,
math
Brian.
Skills.
What did you say?
You have secret math skills.
I do have secret. I'm really good at short math.
Wow.
And sometimes I see things not as numbers, but like I'll transfer the letters to numbers and then multiply them all together, like in a word.
What?
You know what?
Holy I don't want to talk. You better like Mary Lou Henner, except different in the way that you are.
Right. Except I don't remember anything about my life longer than 5 years ago.
Give us an example immediately of what you do with a word.
Like I'll look, like say the word is like, now summer. I'm nervous. Honor?
Honor.
Okay. Well, now I'm scared I can't do it.
Okay. Is it when you see it on a piece of paper?
No, it's when I see the word, but then it takes me like a minute to be like, okay, R is letter this, O is letter this, N is letter this, and then like I'll multiply it from there. But it does take me like a full minute to do it.
Multiply it times each other, every letter?
R times O times N times N times A. Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
It has served me not once.
But it's not synesthesia.
No, I don't. Like it's synesthesia, I remember is like the letters.
Numbers have colors and things like that.
It's just that I find the letter that corresponds with the number and then
multiply
them. Do you
do Sudoku or anything like that?
I have, but not really, no.
Huh. I mean, okay. You could be, are you a spy? You have to say if you're a spy. Like you have to.
I'm certainly not. But if I see
that. Actually, it's the opposite. You have to say if you're a cop. If you're a spy, you can never say if you're
never
a spy.
Say, okay,
but for
I
instance, like
I
when I see.
Yes. If you're a cop and someone asks you, you have to identify yourself. If you say you're a spy, and if someone asks if you're a spy and you say you're a spy, you're fired.
All right. Okay.
Or dead. Yeah.
But if I see the number
they'll leave you for dead if you ever admit it.
If I see like the number 8, I always see it as. Is 2 times the square root of 2. I don't see it as the number 8. I immediately start doing math with it.
This is fascinating.
It hasn't served me once. Thank you.
When did you start doing this?
Mm-mm. When I was a kid.
Okay.
I'm making it sound way more special than I am. It really is. I mean, it still takes me like on the longer ones. It still takes me like a full minute to come up with it. Anyway, I'm beaming with pride over my skill. But that's, it's of no use.
960 cookies.
Yes. Is that it? Oh, the question. Here we go. Every year I make more than 80 dozen cookies to give as gifts during the holidays. Approximately 35 to 40 friends, relatives, and colleagues receive a box. I love making these cookies and giving them away. It's one of the ways I enjoy the season. I will admit, though, to having a bit of an ego about these cookies. Okay. I know they are very good. They are carefully curated, well-presented, made with good ingredients, and most importantly, delicious. Yeah. I spend a lot of time...
Where's our box?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time and money on this yearly effort, and I've started to get irritated when recipients take the box with a thank you, but never let me know that they've eaten or enjoyed the cookies. In most cases, I hand off a box and receive nothing in return. I don't give the cookies expecting to get something back, but I feel genuinely appreciated when someone sends even the quickest note later on to say they enjoyed the cookies. A few years ago, one of my closest friends approached me after Thanksgiving. My husband and I have discussed it, and he feels that we appreciate the cookies more than anyone else, so we should get 2 boxes instead of 1. I laughed at the boldness and gave them a second box. My question is what to do about those who are, in my assessment, underappreciative. They accept the box, and I've never heard a word about it. Are my expectations unreasonable? Do I need to find a way to let them know that I want to hear from them? Do I just leave them off next year's list? Or do I need to watch a couple of Hallmark movies to remind myself of the true meaning of Christmas and stop complaining that I'm not being thanked well enough? I absolutely love listening to the podcast twice a week, which means they're Patreon. Thanks so much for all the hilarious and thoughtful content during this deeply troubling year. Best, C.
C is now, Virgo I want, in their chart.
I want Kulap to
what
dig
does that mean?
Deep
Tell us,
into herself before she answers this question because I think
you think
Kulap
she's like this
can 100% identify with this person, and she doesn't quite like that about herself, but that's what I think.
Well, here, this is we need to show people how we want to be loved. And that's a hard lesson to learn, okay?
Wait. We need to show people how we want to be loved.
Loved,
okay.
Right?
So take the guesswork out of us.
Yeah. Like, look, what do I hear? I hear somebody who keeps receipts. I know that person. I know that. And I mentioned a Virgo. That's somebody who like sings just so and is a little bit like, no, 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 is hypercritical of other people, but more so about themselves. They want to be appreciated. They want to be seen. And sometimes they just want people to just know that about them. And so, yeah, I do think if there are people, you have to say what you want. In life, we must say what we want. Because people can't read minds. So if there are people that you feel like, hey, hey, did you like the cookies?
Yeah. And then I hope you enjoyed the cookies. Yeah.
Yeah. Just say it. It's way easier than to expect people to read your mind. And also when you give a gift, you know, that's what it is. that's what it is. You don't. You know, and if you don't want to give them cookies, then don't give them cookies. Yeah. We're all grown.
It's a lot of work in that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my thought.
Soo-jin.
So I'm not as good in math as Brian is. So we're talking, how many dozen?
80 dozen cookies.
To me, and again, this is just me. That's about maybe 70 more dozen than I would make, meaning that that's a lot of people, meaning that if you're going to send out that many cookies, you're going outside your very close personal ring.
Excellent
of people
point. Excellent
that know
point.
You. So I hope that the people that are very much in your inner circle profusely thank you. I mean, if one of my friends, and I know this about her, that she does this every year, that she puts so much thought into it, and I got cookies, I am Instagramming, story eating the cookies,
totally.
I'm taking pictures of it, I'm texting her. I mean, I've done this because I know I have a friend whose whole family does this, and it's very sweet. And let me tell you, every bite I take a picture, this bite was even better than the last bite.
Yeah.
Because I know. So I think there's a little bit of that. To me, it seems like either the list has to get shorter or you have to have different expectations depending on, you know, what circle of friendship that this person sits outside of.
Rana, what do you think?
Well, the first thing that needs to happen is you have to be honest with yourself. You absolutely 100% make these cookies so people can tell you how fabulous and gorgeous and delicious they are. And you're furious when they don't. Okay? So I don't want to hear about how you love the feeling of your kitchen in the holiday season and it's your favorite thing to make 1,000 cookies and
right.
You're an
God.
Elf and you just live for being an elf and that's all it is. Because
Rana is so
that's
real.
Absolute horseshit. It is.
Right. 1,000 cookies is a full-fledged bakery.
1,000 cookies.
That's
Does
a
he live
bakery.
In a commercial bakery?
That's what I mean. Yeah. Wild.
It's a lot of work. And you like being known as the guy that does the cookies. Oh, are you on so-and-so's cookie list? We're not on the cookie list. You're on the cookie list. Well, I used to work with him at blah, 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 and I'm on the cookie list.
I get two boxes. I got two boxes this
year.
We
asked for two.
Wow,
the pecking order just got bigger,
yeah. Of course they were going to get two, the ones that asked for two. That is a dream come true.
They kissed the cookie ring.
Yeah.
Not only do I love your
Completely.
Cookies.
Completely.
I want to kill myself when I run out of them, and my husband wants his own box of your delicious cookies.
Yeah.
Now, as a person who loves to give gifts and isn't so hot on receiving them, I don't hate receiving them, but I'm not as good at receiving a
you
gift.
You don't give
as
I to receive.
I am at giving a gift.
Right.
I want to know what people think of my gift when I give it to them because I've thought of them before I send it. So if I send somebody flowers, I want them to send me a picture of the flowers because I also want to know if they were any good. That's the other thing. I want to know about the experience because that makes me think, oh, will I use that florist again or will I not? That sort of thing. But Soo-jin is entirely correct. You've got too many cookies out there. You're floating these cookies to too many people.
Yeah,
and the
with
people
one cook.
That don't say thank you. If you're honest with yourself, that bothers you. They're off the list for next year. They are. You're great. Getting these cookies so people tell you how great the cookies are. That's the gift you're giving yourself this every holiday season, is that people tell you what a fabulous cookie maker you are. And you love that feeling. And it makes you feel like you have given, you have shared the holiday spirit with someone who appreciates it. And that is the exchange that you're interested in. This. You've got to be joking.
I don't know what's happening. I think my thing's on. Sorry. Okay.
Now
I, guys, this has
Apple
never
phone.
Happened.
Now I'm you're, so- I mean...
I'm so sorry.
I've never seen this level of
I haven't either. I'm shocked by it.
Life.
I'm very sorry. It's
Is
all
that your
off.
Tamagotchi that went off?
No. No.
Are you raising a chicken on my time?
It's my Furby. And no, it did. It's fine. It just fed it a pellet or whatever.
I think you need to be honest with yourself. I think you need to condense your list. I think you need to send us a box of these cookies so we know what we're dealing with.
I am dying for a box of these cookies.
You know how I'll reply. I'll reply bite by bite.
Absolutely.
I will story it.
And
I will
we will we'll
text
talk
it.
About it to everybody on the podcast, unless the cookies are no good.
And then that's
we're
going to
let them know that too.
I think it's a combo of like, look, I don't think, as Kulop said, there's anything wrong with saying, did you enjoy the cookies? Or I hope you enjoyed the cookies or anything like that.
If did you get the cookies?
Did you get the cookies? Yeah.
But now he's texting 80 people. He's got people who are on
he's
his
list. He's bitten off way more than he could chew.
Yeah.
That's
he's spending the whole Christmas week. Did you get the cookies? Did you get the cookies? Did you get the cookies? Did
yeah,
you get the cookies?
Exactly. So my suggestion is a little bit different than what you all have said. Although I do think that it is valid to ask if someone likes them. And I do think it is absolutely, I think you should reduce the list. As Sujin said, that I agree. I think the people who are 60 to 80 on that list are probably people that you are acquaintances at that point. But I also think that there's something valid in, let's say, July, August, September, October of next year, and just shooting a text and saying, did you like the cookies? Do you know what I mean? No
I
contact for 7 months.
Did you get the cookies?
Yeah. Did you get the cookies?
In July.
Because that, exactly. So just wait a good.
Or maybe it's, did oh,
I love
didn't
that.
You get my cookies? Or
yeah.
Did you not get my cookies?
Yeah. Did you not
I
get my cookies?
I love that, because then they're off the list. You don't even have to, you don't even have to feel bad about them saying,
but
how come I didn't get the cookies this year?
Can
but
I
you
just
will,
say?
Please.
No, so Brian, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so you send that text, you do it while you're smoking, and then you put your cigarette out after you send it. Absolutely. And you grab a martini and you swig it back and you run.
And you just
your
let
world.
It burn. You,
you
put the
let it
lighter fluid. You do
you pour
the
alcohol
movie?
On the fire.
What's that movie? Where she, anyway. So, but I do also have to say, who doesn't say thank you after getting a
I
gift?
I agree.
Yeah.
What
are we,
wild.
Neanderthals? What are we? It's a children?
Yeah.
You know? And it's so easy now. You don't even have to write a note. You send a text.
I know.
You do a picture. It's
it couldn't
the easiest
be simpler.
Thing. So
men,
anyone
that's
getting-
the first person. Men. Okay.
Men.
That's your first category. People that don't say thank you. They say,
really?
Oh, cool.
As a man, I'd like to defend my sex and say, I always say thank you.
Cool.
All right, cis
then
white
they eat
males.
All the cookies and then they're gone.
Yes.
And fair
then
enough.
They, then you they have to be more specific. Yeah.
Then they middle-aged, cis white.
Yeah.
Males. Sure. Straight.
Father.
Yeah.
That's who. Father would not remember to send a text for the cookies.
Father.
And mother would say to father, "Did you say thank you for the cookies?"
That's,
and he'd say, "Oh, great idea. I should text them."
That is true.
Yeah.
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 That's
something
the first
that Rana
thing.
Said. That shifted it for me is like, this person sounds like they love being known as making 960 cookies.
Sounds like they're great.
So
at it.
They love it. There's a little bit of martyr in that letter, and there's a little bit of like, there's pride. I make all these cookies. So what a great time for you to cut people and invite new people into your life and value your relationships by the cookie box. New people, will you be, can I, worthy to bestow my cookies upon you?
Well, less
and then
people.
Be way more hardcore. This
and then
person
you
doesn't
be,
sound like less people. This person's not interested in less people.
He wants
in my
to
mind.
Tell people he made 1,200 cookies next year.
That's
I
right.
I want this person to be living in like a Wisteria Lane Desperate Housewives situation.
It's no question.
Someone new comes to town. They gift them the cookies, and the neighbors are like, "You better thank him for those cookies because that this determines whether you're in or out."
You know? We need a picture of the cookie operation.
We need the cookies.
You know he has them. He has Definitely. Pictures of the cookie operation.
Yeah.
And we need pictures and we need details.
And I hope he looks like
and
the Lint Man.
And most importantly, we need a box of cookies sent to the
yes.
carriage house.
And one last thing, if you want people to really appreciate it, just we're giving this pitch for you to give it out to less people because that means it's more exclusive. 900 people, that's a large village. If you want people to really care every time they get a box, less people, we need a red velvet rope.
Yep.
If you want a red velvet reaction, then you need to have less people.
Get more exclusive.
But it doesn't sound like you want
set
that.
Set yourself up for the reaction that you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but please text in July or August to those
I
other
do
people.
Think there are people and they're just different, but there are people that and it's, you know, disappointing, but then they get gifts. They just say, "Oh, that was nice. Thank you." And they're delighted to have been thought of, but they may not contact the other person. And it's crazy, but it's how they operate. And it doesn't occur to them that, you know, and these are the people that I don't want to send gifts to. I agree.
I have to say, I sent a gift to my mom that got there a couple weeks ago. And I was like, "Did you get it?" She was like, "I did." And I was like, "Okay." And then I waited a couple days. I was like, "Well, what did you think?" She was like, "You know, it's in a box in the garage. I just didn't feel like opening it yet." And I go, "Do you understand?" I go, "Do you understand how hurtful that is?" She was like, "Oh, I didn't, I'm sorry." And she opened it on the phone and her reaction was truly out of 50 because she just was like,
understood she was on the line. Yeah, her life exactly. was on the line.
But at the end of it, I got what I wanted, you know?
Okay, here's our last question. Then we do our giveaway.
Yes.
So get prepared for that.
Okay.
Hi, Ron, O'Brien, and guest. I'd love to be kept anonymous. I adore you both and am presumably, excited about today's guest. Well, I don't know what that means. Okay.
You will be. That means they didn't know who it was, but they're excited anyway.
Oh, but they're excited anyway. Okay. Yeah. After a couple non-committal attempts, my boyfriend has made the decision that drinking is not serving him well in life, and he'd like to cut it out. Nothing all that notable has occurred because of his drinking, but it brings out a largely negative side to him and isn't great on our relationship, i.e. arguments, short tempers. He'd be the first to say he's uncomfortable with his dependency on it. While not one for AA or organizational/community-based support outside of friends and close relationships, he did recently mention he wishes he could think of a way to celebrate markers in time on this journey without putting as much weight as a title or chip like 6 months sober has. He's also not sober. He smokes weed, and I'm in support of that. I was hoping you could help me come up with something that might help him feel accomplished and eager to continue this journey. Kiss, kiss. Anonymous. Alt Anonymous, they wrote.
So like a special gift or token of this or something? Is that about right? Or is that what they're asking?
I guess that's what they're asking, but I have a very specific reaction to this, I think.
What do you think?
Which may or may not be
right
fair, but I don't think that's your place, to be honest with you. I don't think you want to be in a situation where you're keeping track of his sobriety and where you're... If he has a milestone he wants to celebrate, where he says, you know, next week it's 6 months, I thought we could go to dinner. Or I thought I'd bake a cake, or I thought whatever. If he wants to bring you in on that, then I think that's lovely. But I think the idea of you coming up with a calendar or a chore wheel or
is
whatever
a lot of
it
pressure.
Is. This is a
sticker
personal,
system, a gold star.
Yeah, this is a personal journey he's supposed to be on that you are supporting and that you should be supportive of. But this guy needs to find a way, whether it's with his therapist or whether it's AA, even if he could take it or leave it with AA, he goes to a meeting once a week or he doesn't or what, you know, it's a good question. What else is out there besides AA? And I actually don't know the answer to that, but this is something he should be taking care of on his own because he needs to be personally responsible. And I think inevitably on these journeys, there are either slip ups or tough moments or whatever. And if you're the hall monitor on that, I don't see that boding well for your relationship.
I do think it adds, I think you could get him a gift and just get him a gift. I think it's a lot of pressure though, to like, to say, this is for being a good boy, essentially. I think, and I don't think that's how this person means it, but I could see how it would be like, okay, you've come this far, here's the gift. And the other person might receive it graciously and gratefully, but they also might say to themselves, don't fuck up. You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
The reward generally in these juniors isn't the coin or it isn't the certificate. It's the choosing moment to moment. And I really, what Rana says, it's a personal journey. It's, but yeah, it's so funny. Like I love Rana, you like that, that's it. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm sure there's something on Etsy.
No, honestly, me too. I didn't even consider that it might be sort of like inappropriate.
But there might be. And also, if you want to give him something at these milestones, that's great. But the idea that there's some kind of construct and that you're responsible for that, or I mean, and again, that's just my opinion. I don't really have a ton of experience with my close intimates going through this, where someone I live with is going through this sort of thing. Of course, there are people in my life who are sober and have gone through sobriety, and it's incredibly impressive and they're sticking to it and it's wonderful. But everybody's journey is different. And this guy sounds like he's more made the choice that it really wasn't healthy and wasn't serving him. And that's a pretty good place to be, I have to say, as opposed to someone who is, you know, their life is a wreckage, as a result of getting really out of control with this stuff. But, you know, that's already pretty impressive. But I just think you don't want to be the keeper of that. I think that's something he needs to keep either for himself or with his therapist or his life coach or his other sober buddy. Or I don't know, but it feels personal.
I hope you hearing this gives you a sense of relief that you don't have to take this on.
Good point.
I hope that's how you feel.
And not only that you don't have to take this on, but in some ways, and again, I don't have a ton of experience with this particular specific issue, but that you may not also be making it better. Like you could be making it worse. You know how sometimes I'm thinking about this in terms of even a situation that I, you know, sometimes encounter with a friend of mine where I think I'm being helpful by doing all these things. And, well, why don't we do this? And what? And it robs her of the ability and the sort of feeling of like self-empowerment to come up with the ideas on her own if I'm always the one doing this. So you don't. So there's a little bit of that for me in there. I know that that may not be the case in this situation. But
you don't want to be push your fixer mode onto this other person.
You don't want to be the cheerleader. You don't want to be, because I think it's unsustainable as well, you know, because if this person, this is a lifelong commitment and a journey that will have ups and downs, it's going to be exhausting. And I think, frankly, impossible for another person to drag someone through that if they're not the ones actually in front of, you know, that momentum themselves.
I have been in a relationship like this before. I've been in a relationship with someone who was an alcoholic, and I was like a huge cheerleader for it. And all it really ended up doing is if this person slipped, they just started hiding everything from me. Even though I had great intentions, it just was the sort of thing of like, oh, fuck, now I've let down. And it isn't about that. You know, it's just, it is this weird added pressure thing where like every milestone I would just go all out. And it was sort of like, well, no, I mean, you can just show your support by just being yourself and normal and there and not, you know, encouraging him to do something he doesn't want to do.
Yeah, and being cool about it. Because I also think that's the other thing. We've talked about this a little bit in different ways, which is this, the idea of how drama is tied up into addiction. And obviously those two things don't have to go together, but they often do, which is that people who are addicts are often addicted to, additionally addicted to the drama that that lifestyle provides for them. And I think that sometimes when people get sober, I mean, I think it's great to feel like you're part of a community and that you're moving towards something and that there is a way forward, which is what's great about AA. You don't have to love everything about AA, but what it does is it provides a path and a structure for people. And probably, again, I've never been through it myself, but there's probably things that you can take a little more seriously, a little less seriously, but that keeps you honest, essentially, on that journey. But often, especially in the beginning of sobriety, people get caught up in the drama of this new choice and this new lifestyle and these new friends. And now I do 7 HIIT classes a week instead of 3. And now I do, you know, whatever the thing is.
I buy all the accessories.
Whatever you throw, you say, all my friends are sober. I can't talk to people that don't drink. I don't, you know, whatever the most extreme version of the thing is. And really the people that are most successful at not drinking and not doing whatever it is that they need to stop doing are the people that accept the fact that that is what life is going to be like now. And so in some ways, just by being steady and being supportive, you're saying, it's cool. This is normal. This is the new normal in our life. Instead of I jumped out of a cake when you got 9 months sobriety or whatever. I mean, because you can't keep doing that for the next 10, 15, 25 years or however long this is going to go on. It has to be something that these people come to terms with and that they realize that's not good for me. I don't do that.
Can I ask if anyone has ever witnessed someone jumping out of a cake? Me
no,
neither. And I'm dying to.
I'm certain that I have. And I can't think of when it was, but
it had to have been in the like 80s, 90s.
Well, I once jumped out of a cake, but I've never witnessed
what?
It.
Really?
Yeah. You?
Yeah, for Bob's 50th, I jumped out of a cake.
What were you wearing?
Not much.
Rana!
Oh, my goodness.
Was it?
What kind of cake? Yeah.
Did you get claustrophobic?
It was a vanilla buttercream cake because you don't want chocolate or chocolate frosting to get on you if any of the cake gets on you.
Because it looks like
poo-poo.
You
come out of the cake. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just don't want that. Right. It ruins the picture.
Sure. Yeah. 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 Dirty Sanchez or something.
No, nothing like that, actually, Brian. That's the second time you brought that up on this. No, you brought up
in
the Cleveland
year,
steamer.
Rana.
The Cleveland steamer. Okay. All right, it's time for our giveaway.
Yes. Okay, now, so this is the part of the show.
I have a new idea about the giveaway. Go ahead.
Does it involve money?
It always involves money with the giveaway.
Brian's very concerned about your finances. I mean, the podcast as a whole.
Well, that's because Brian
is financially viable.
That's because Brian knows that I take off the top of his check before he gets his check. So that's what
Brian be surprised.
Is not fully in control of his finances. I make sure the operation has what it needs, and then Brian gets.
Does
paid.
Your podcast have an HR person?
Well, I guess we do. Yeah, there is. Huh. There is Lemonada. Lemonada Media has, there's quite a bit of people who
work there. And are you talking to them every day?
If you want to move to a big company like Lemonada, you can.
Rana, I'm just saying that when we send things to people that we think deserve them, I would just like a little bit, like 10% back.
From them.
Yeah.
Or from me.
So you want 10% of the coffee beans back to you. You want them
no,
to
but
ship.
In cash. But
when
yeah.
he sends 80 dozen boxes of cookies, he wants the box to come back.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay.
I want to know. Let's
okay.
have,
I don't know if HR is going to help you with that, Brian.
Can we do a quick
it
guessing
game? It might be a different
game?
Department. You could be right.
Can we do a quick guessing game and then can we have it clarified for us by a listener? Yeah. I want to know if you think that it's one kind of cookies or several kinds of cookies. And I want to know what kinds of cookies you think are in the box.
I'm wondering if they're like the sugar Christmas cookies decorated.
Okay.
Which would be crazy to make 1,000 of those, though.
Okay, that's your guess.
That'd be so much work.
I believe that it's several cookies. I think we definitely have a sugar cookie, an iced with a royal icing that Brian said. Mm-hmm. I think there may be some sort of crinkle cookie.
I was going to say my second guess was crinkle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I think you're going to have something that has sort of a peppermint, be it, you know, like a chocolate peppermint type of situation. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then I want to believe that there are four kinds. And the fourth one may be some sort of
banana.
Like your classic.
Your banana. Yeah, you know, Christmas banana cookies. You know.
What's so funny? I've never heard of a banana cookie.
Banana, they make bread. They don't make cookies. Really. Oh, okay. Or muffins. Or it doesn't lend itself to the batter of a cookie. Though I'm sure there's a banana cookie out there somewhere that someone's going to slam us for not knowing about.
Yeah.
Yes,
my fourth cookie is some type of maybe peanut butter situation.
Ooh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So is it one of those peanut butter balls that are a no bake cookie that's got the chocolate over it? Is it one of those that classic cookie
Hershey Kiss?
Thank you. Hershey Kiss drop in the peanut butter. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Those are great guesses. I think those are the classics.
Wow. I am not a baker.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even tell you what type of cookies are considered Christmas cookies. I do believe that there are at least four. That seems like the right number, only because with that many, think about it. If this person is making that many cookies in just a regular house kitchen, think about the ingredients. Like if it was just one cookie, they'd have to. Do you know what I mean? Like you're going to a regular grocery store. So you're like, okay, this is for my banana cookie. And this is for my royal iced cookie.
Banana cookie.
So I think that there's...
also, that's a dozen. It's a dozen. So you think there are probably four. He gave us that clue.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's a he. That's not fair.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think it legit is. Yeah.
I think one of the cookies is one of those almond flour powdered cookies.
Okay.
Oh, like the
What are those called?
You know, like a Viennese cookie,
like
basically.
A wedding cookie.
Yeah, like a an Italian wedding cookie, but not really. Like they're Eastern European cookie. They're the kind of cookie that you bite into them, it almost crumbles.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
And gingerbread.
Oh, of course, gingerbread.
Gingerbread.
What? Yes.
Well, now we've got too many cookies. All right. Please write back to us, C, and let us know. And we want to know what's going on. I really am very curious. I want pictures of these cookies.
So I want the cookies.
I might actually write to him today before the episode comes out so that we can post a picture of the cookies with the episode.
I want the cookies, but I don't want to thank him.
You're not going to get the cookies because you're not on his list of 80. You could be on next year's list, but you're not on this year's list.
It's a new list. It's a new list.
What if we already went out?
He already sent out the cookies.
Well, if he's made 960, he could stand to make 12 more.
Well, he'd have to make four versions of 12 more cookies, and then he'd have to find 10 more people to send his cookies. So, and nine of them aren't going to respond.
But,
not going to thank him because I don't know him that well.
Well, I'm going to write to him as soon as we hang up, and I'm going to say we need pictures of these cookies. We need to know what they are, and we need evidence of everything. Right. And I hope they're the worst looking cookies you've ever seen in your life. I hope
they're like nailed it cookies.
Oh, I hope they're terrible cookies that people keep getting and saying, "What does he send us these horrible cookies for every year?" Yeah. He makes these dirt cookies.
Yeah, they're Play-Doh.
One's dirt worms.
Clay.
The other one's a corn cookie. Yeah. The other one. Yeah, so just
he might legitimately make banana cookies. We don't know what's happening over there.
Would be so funny. Okay.
Brian really wants banana cookies to be a thing.
I do all of a sudden.
So
I want
we have
that
to do our giveaway.
Yes.
And what we're going to do this week, what we normally do is we say what the giveaway is. And then we say who's going to get it. But today we're going to flip it. Because what we've been doing is we're giving giveaways from our Ronica list. Last week we did our Ronica episode. Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And so we had all of our holiday picks. And so what we're going to do is
we gave the Glossier last time, right, Ronna?
Last week we gave a Glossier kit to somebody. We're going to pick the winner. And then based on the winner, Brian, we're going to match something off the Ronica list.
Got it.
You'll be great at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So are we giving this gift to letting go of the nanny?
It's just a feeling, Sujin. That's all it is that you go on when you give it away. Yeah.
Are we giving it to... letting go of the nanny? Are we giving it to cookies? or are we giving it to AA alternative?
Can I say? Or
yeah, of course.
I'm gonna give it to AA alternative because I think this person is just trying to love as she wants to be loved. I'm repeating this again, and she likes to receive gifts in milestones, and so I'd like her to have whatever this giveaway is because she wrote the letter.
Yeah, Sujin.
My first instinct was the nanny, Pickles, only because it seemed like a pretty tough year for her. Nanny situation aside, you know, she said that her daughter, I think it was, is in, you know, is not at home anymore. It just seemed like,
yeah,
I don't know. It just seemed like a pretty tough year for Pickles.
And she's a person who wants to do right by other people all the time. That she puts a lot of energy into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was going to say cookies because I want the cookies.
What? So what? This is your workaround. You refuse to say thank you, but instead you'll give something so that they can say thank you to you.
By the way, cookies is like, I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it and you're welcome.
Well, cookies has never gotten this much attention. I mean, the letter was, we don't even know if this person sends cookies. That letter was just designed to get attention on a critically acclaimed, nationally distributed podcast.
Rana, you're going to be the one. Winning. You're going to be the one to decide here.
Wow. It's tricky. Very tricky. Because on our AA, for our AA alternative, you know what? It goes against my advice. I was going to remind them about on the Ronica list, we had the Aviary cocktail book from Chicago.
Yes.
Which a lot of the ingredients come from. We have a sponsor called Rare Tea Cellar, which is Kulap will love because she is my quote that I came up with for them, Kulap, is to make your home chef feel like a Michelin star chef.
Okay.
So and basically, home chef.
That's why Kulap will love it because they're like a gourmet. Teas and ingredients. So Jin will love the teas. Kulap will love the ingredients. And they have this incredible pantry. Anyway, 20% off your first order, offer code Brian. But that's not my point. My point is
Rare Tea Cellar. And the joke is C-E-L-L-A-R. So yes, Rare Tea Cellar.
And by joke, he means the spelling.
Right.
But they supply a lot of the rare ingredients. The Aviary is one of these Michelin star Chicago restaurants, but okay. They just came out with a book called Zero, which is it's the non-alcoholic beverage version of all of their incredible, not their cocktails, but they're their own drinks.
Okay.
And that might be something nice to have around the house, but it sort of goes against my idea of we don't want all the Christmas gifts to be sober gifts or that sort of thing, but it might just be a nice thing to have in the house. You should buy that for yourself. I agree. I think we're going to go with the nanny. And I know it seems tricky because it feels like we're sort of giving it to someone who's in a position of privilege and they have a nanny and this and that. But I do think that the letter writer is a real empath and that they're struggling with this decision because they're also struggling with the transition that it represents in their life, which is
okay. How
do you keep someone who is an employee as a family member when the true nature of the relationship is actually transactional? And what does it mean to remove that person from the lives of your daughters when that person has been such a stabilizing influence? And another layer of the pandemic sort of ravishing people. But I don't know what we're going to give her, Brian.
Well, let's see. We could give her, we could give her that dash cam.
Kulap, are you upset?
I'm not upset. I'm not.
You are disappointed. Kulap's disappointed.
I'm not disappointed.
I don't want to disappoint Kulap.
No,
she doesn't
no,
want
no,
the white
no.
lady with the nanny. She doesn't want the white lady with the nanny to get a present.
That is why I didn't say her.
That's a factor.
Name.
Is that right?
The main factor, yes. That is 100%. But that doesn't mean I'm right.
That's fair.
That doesn't mean
pick the gift that's the smallest.
Okay.
Well, now we're punishing her for being a nice lady who wrote a letter just because she happens
to
have a nanny.
No, she's still getting a gift. Just pick your least favorite gift on the Ronica list.
No, it's not even the smallest. It's the least favorite. favorite. What's your lowest?
There are so many good gifts on the Ronica list, to be honest with you. All right, Brian, why don't we send her an ice cream scoop, a Zerol ice cream scoop, and some McConnell's ice cream.
Great.
That's a great gift.
How does that sound?
That's great.
And we'll send the alcoholics some coffee.
Rana!
Oh, what?
No, I mean, I guess technically.
Alcoholics love coffee. Brian, quickly read this cliffhanger.
Add the cart. Add to cart. Add the
and,
cart.
And at Cool Up V on Instagram. What are your handles, ladies?
I am at I am Cool Up on Instagram and at Cool Up on Twitter.
Okay.
And I'm at Suchin Pak on all of it.
Wonderful.
Fabulous.
And okay, this comes out on Patreon. Brian's going to read it, but they get the answer on Patreon.
The episode comes out free feed, but this last question will come out on Patreon. But,
well, that's what I was talking about was the cliffhanger.
Well, Rhonda, I don't know. Something is very strange
with
you today.
She's thrown off. She's thrown off because I think
this is what happens. You know what? I was cooking latkes all day. I was frying them.
She
and
was,
I think
she was.
All the oil went to my head is what happened.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, would you all like to listen to this cliffhanger question, even if we're not going to answer it? Okay.
Yes, please.
Dear Rana and Brian, happy holidays. I adore you both and have found so much comfort and guidance in your show. Thank you. I have a question about a strange situation I'm dealing with concerning my dad's 70th birthday gift. His birthday's coming right up, and I've been racking my brain trying to come up with something to get him. He's not an easy person to shop for, and of course I'm trying to come up with everyone's Christmas and Hanukkah gifts as well, so I have been very stressed out about it.
Okay.
I decided on a digital frame. I'm sure Rana just rolled her eyes, but let me explain. I just had a baby in April. Rana, I don't have you on camera. Let me look. Did you roll your eyes?
Well, why don't you have me on camera? You don't want to look at me?
No, because I accidentally had the question over you, over the screen.
Another mishap, Brian?
Sorry, Rana. I'm just getting the handle of this.
Well, your Tamagotchi is going to need to be fed in about 45 seconds, so we better get through this.
I'm sure.
I love the idea of Brian having a Tamagotchi.
I honestly do, too. I'm being so stressed out about it.
You would be the worst parent to a Tamagotchi.
You're not wrong.
You wouldn't know how. Well, you'd be an excellent parent, but it would ruin your life.
It would ruin my life.
Yeah.
Okay. I decided on a digital frame. I'm sure Rhonda just rolled her eyes, but let me explain. I just had a baby in April, and because of COVID, we haven't and won't be able to be with our families in person for a while. The frame lets you add photos from an app on your phone so we can just keep adding our photos and everyone in the family can join by doing the same.
That's sweet.
My stepmom loved this idea and told me they had been wanting to get one of these. I purchased the frame. It's on its way. And yesterday, I spent the hour that my baby was napping carefully going through all my photos and uploading them to his frame so it arrives with photos on it. Tonight, my stepmom texted me and told me that my dad actually would like a new front door for their house and to let anyone who was asking to give them money towards the new door in lieu of a gift. This is crazy to me.
Suchin is so upset right now.
They want me to buy them a new door? I'm the only person in the family that will be buying him anything because my sister is completely broke. So basically my stepmom is asking only me to contribute to the door gift. I didn't answer back because I was too stunned and frustrated to know what to say. What should I do here?
Needs to go to therapy over this question. She wants to talk to her therapist about someone else's question. She's so upset right now.
Thanks so much for everything. XOXO, the good daughter. All right. Patreon.com.
These people.
/AskRana.
The people that call you and say, I'd rather have a front door and a hole in my sock. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Right. All right.
But we'll answer this on Patreon. This is maybe one of our most outrageous cliffhangers. That's
what
I'm going to say.
Can you imagine? Have you ever seen a door on a gift guide? Ever?
Register for a front door. That's the next thing people are going to do. I'm going to register for a toilet seat. On my for my second wedding,
definitely.
All right, ladies, this was absolutely epic.
So fun,
such a journey, emotional.
It really was such a journey.
Thank you so much for being here. We adore you. Congrats on the wonderful new show.
And add to cart.
Fabulous holiday.
Every Tuesday, listen after Ask Rana, or before Ask Rana,
or just subscribe to both of them and listen at your leisure.
That's true. Yeah, we don't have to live in this world.
It's the whole point of entertainment on demand. It's the whole point of podcasts. When people who don't understand podcasts say to me, what's a podcast? I say, it's a radio show you can listen to when you decide.
Exactly.
Instead of, when it's on, all things considered, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. Anyone all watch right. Mank? Okay.
Did you?
No.
That's a cliffhanger. Yeah, that's a cliffhanger if I've ever heard one.
I'm not yet, but maybe I will, but maybe I won't. I'm telling you now I won't.
Great. I'm not going to watch it either.
Okay. All right.
Kiss,
best
kiss.
Of luck. We love you.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of 4Play.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to 4Play Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.